Welcome to Friend Circle. This is Angelus. We're now on season 4, episode 47 of this podcast. And this time we'll be discussing another interesting topic about blockchain technology and its use case application for the real estate industry. For today's podcast episode, we have invited Joshua Kagan, co-founder and chief executive officer of Bonfire, a U.S. fintech company based in Denver, Colorado. As he explains to us the significant importance of blockchain technology for real estate application and its remarkable benefits to our digital economy. So let's get started. Thank you for listening to Fin Circle and welcome to our podcast. Given blockchain disruption of financial services and subsequent widespread application across industries, it's hard to find a segment that has not been influenced by the technology. Cryptocurrencies have made a strong impact on payments, remittances, and foreign exchange. Initial coin offerings or ICOs have challenged stock investing, startup loans, and venture capital. Even the food supply chain industry has been upended by blockchain, and real estate hasn't escaped blockchain disruption either. Previously, transacting high-value assets such as real estate exclusively through digital channels has never been the norm. Real estate transactions are often conducted offline, involving face-to-face engagement with various entities. Blockchain, however, opened up ways to change this. The introduction of smart contracts, for instance, in blockchain platforms now allow assets like real estate to be tokenized and be traded like cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ether. And trading real estate this way varies. And there are several ways blockchain has changed the real estate game. Number one. Platform and marketplaces. Real estate technology has traditionally been primarily concerned with listings and with connecting buyers and sellers. However, blockchain introduces new ways to trade real estate and can enable trading platforms and online marketplaces to support real estate transactions more comprehensively. For example, a very promising startup company in the U.S. has developed a platform that uses blockchain technology to facilitate real estate and rental property transactions. By tokenizing real property, assets can be traded much like stocks on an exchange, for instance, and transactions can be done online. This allows sellers to tokenize assets, essentially trading like a stock sale, and liquidating that asset to a token sale using the platform. The collected tokens can be exchanged for fiat currency, with buyers owning a percentage stake of the property. Number two, no intermediaries. Brokers, lawyers, and banks, or financial institutions, have long been part of the real estate ecosystem. However, blockchain may soon usher in a shift their roles and participation in real estate transactions. According to the report by Deloitte, new platforms can eventually assume functions such as listings, payments, and legal documentation, cutting out the intermediaries will result in buyers and sellers getting more out of their money as they save on commissions and fees charged by these intermediaries. This also makes the process much quicker as the back and forth between this middleman gets cut. Some of the takeaways from this. Blockchain technology has impacted the real estate industry in a variety of ways, including offering a new means for buyers and sellers to connect with one another. This could also be used to cut intermediaries out of the real estate transaction process, thereby reducing costs. And the technology also helped to codify the practice of this what we call fractional ownership of the real estate. Number three, liquidity. Real estate has long been considered an illiquid asset since it takes some time for sales to conclude. And this isn't the case with cryptocurrencies and tokens, since they can, in theory, be readily traded for fiat currencies through exchanges. However, as tokens, real estate can be readily traded. A seller doesn't have to wait for a buyer who can afford the whole property in order to get some value out of the property. Number four, fractional ownership. By allowing fractional ownership, blockchain also lowers the barrier to real estate investing. Typically, investments will require a significant amount of money upfront in order to acquire property. Alternatively, investors with money could also pool their resources to acquire bigger ticket properties. And through blockchain, investors would simply have to access a trading app to buy and sell even transactions of tokens as they see fit. In addition, fractional ownership would also help them avoid managing the properties themselves, such as maintenance and leasing. Upkeep alone can add up to significant costs, and dealing with tenants may be a troublesome effort as well. And this also affects related activities such as lending, where property owners often have to put their properties as collaterals for loans in order to get quick access to cash. Depending on the terms, property owners may also continue enjoying use of their property. Number five, decentralization. Blockchain commands trust and security at the decentralized technology, where information stored in the blockchain is accessible to all peers in the network, making data transparent and immutable. One only has to go back to the housing bubble crash in 2008 to see how greed and the lack of transparency on the part of the institutions can have catastrophic consequences. A decentralized exchange has trust built into the system, and since information can be verifiable to peers, buyers and sellers can have more confidence in conducting transactions, and fraud attempts would also have been lessened. and smart contracts are increasingly becoming admissible records. With Vermont and Arizona passing such legislation, as such, smart contracts would have been more enforceability beyond the technology itself. Number 6. Last but not the least, cost. The transparency associated with a decentralized network can also trim down costs associated with real estate transactions. Beyond the savings made by cutting out intermediaries, professional fees, and commissions, there are other costs such as inspection costs, registration fees, and taxes associated with real estate. These costs even vary depending on the territory that has jurisdiction. Like intermediaries, this can be reduced or even eliminated from the equation as platform automate these processes and make them part of the system. Global real estate is worth hundreds of trillions of dollars, but is only dominated by wealthy and large corporations. And through blockchain technology, it is possible that more people will be able to access the market where transactions can be more transparent, secure, and equitable. Real estate transactions may eventually become truly peer-to-peer activities with blockchain-powered platforms doing most of the work. Having said all of this, numerous advantages and wealth of opportunities, the decisions is now within our hands and for ours to make. For today's podcast episode, we have invited Joshua Kagan, the CEO and co-founder on this very innovative platform called Bonfire, as he walks us through the significant relevance of real estate business in leveraging blockchain technology and its value proposition to our digital economy. It's a great privilege to have you, Joshua, and welcome to FinCircle.
Thank you, Edgar. It's a privilege to be here.
Let's probably start by describing the value proposition of the blockchain technology in the real estate industry.
I would say that there's two main value propositions, Edgar, with using blockchain in real estate. The first is the capacity to tokenize an asset. And basically what that means for Bonfire is we chop up a real estate asset into smaller pieces that enable folks who might not have $1 million or $500,000 to be able to invest. Instead, they can invest in tokens, which represent an ownership interest at a much lower price point. The second value proposition, I would say, is blockchain enables the birth of a secondary marketplace for the tokens to be bought and sold and provides liquidity for an asset class that has historically been partially defined by a lack of liquidity.
What are your main influences, Joshua, in engaging with blockchain technology?
Oh, it's a great question, Edgar. You know, I lived through the birth of the internet in the 90s and saw how transformative of a technology it was. And back in those days, you know, we knew it was disruptive. We just didn't know exactly how. And it reminds me, you know, blockchain feels similar, like a similar thing is happening. So I bought my first crypto in early 2017. I think first ETH I bought was at $81 and Bitcoin was $1,100. And it was extremely lucky timing. It wasn't because I was smart. I had two friends who were smarter than me who recommended investing in it. And when I invest in something, it forces me to learn about it. And so I dove into blockchain and saw that, yeah, this could solve a lot of different problems. And that was the impetus to jump into, crypto and ultimately asset-backed tokens, which we're selling at Bonfire.
I understand, Joshua, that you started Bonfire with your co-founders to essentially provide an opportunity to any investors or literally anyone in having real estate ownership by tokenization process. Perhaps you can tell us more about it.
Yeah, I mean, Bonfire was born out of conversations I had with my friends who are in their 30s and 40s who have done everything that society told them to do. Go to college, get a good job, get married, have 2.1 children, all of that stuff, right? But the reality is, at least in the United States, for most people, the greatest source of wealth they'll ever have is owning a house. And usually when people turn 30 is the time around when they move out of apartments and they move in, they buy their first house. Well, that American dream is becoming an American myth. And the reason why that is, student debt and interest rates have doubled in the last year, and private equities bought a lot of the supply. So it's very hard for younger people to actually accrue the wealth that comes from owning real estate. And so my co-founder, he came from India 10 years ago. He started and sold three companies. He owns a bunch of real estate as well. And for him, real estate has enabled him to go to college and, really helped his family. And so we both wanted to figure out a way to help a younger generation, or not even just our peers, get on the real estate ownership ladder. And so what Bonfire does is we partner with a real estate operator, also called a sponsor, who has a good track record. We really are focused on high quality projects, and we tokenize an investment into their project. And so we take an allocation as a limited partner, an LP, and we bring it out to our community that consists of people in the US or international who come together on our platform and invest for, I think our first asset we ever sold, the minimum token price was $31. We just released one a couple of days ago where the minimum is $2,500. So somewhere in between those two. And it enables people from all over the world to have direct access to United States real estate in a tax efficient, legally compliant way.
What makes Bonfire different from its adversaries?
Well, it depends on who you define as our competitors. Historically, at least in the US, if someone wanted to buy commercial real estate, they could buy something called an REIT, a real estate investment trust, which is a corporation that goes out and buys a number of properties. The problem with investing in a REIT is that you are investing in a corporation and paying the CEO's $20 million a year salary in private jet before you're getting any return. And you're also subject to the ups and downs of the stock market, the volatility of the stock market. So it's actually not really a way to own real estate. You don't get any of the tax benefits, the depreciation, any of that. There's other platforms that facilitate direct access to real estate that have much higher minimums, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, who also, are not, how would I say this diplomatically? They're not really following securities laws, and they're trying to pretend that just because something is a new technology like blockchain, that US regulations don't apply to it. And we just don't think that that's ethical. And so we're a completely legally compliant platform is one of our differences.
That's a very good point, Joshua. Given that the real estate industry is heavily regulated, while the blockchain environment is the complete opposite, what are the complementing variables that you have somehow observed, despite of its differences in regulation?
It's a wonderful question. The complementing variables, there's a myriad of them. I think on both sides, entrepreneurs tend to move faster than policymakers. And so there's oftentimes a void, at least on new technologies like blockchain, of what is the right policy, what is the actual law around some of these issues, right? And in the US, the Securities and Exchange Commission, unfortunately, has decided to create policy through enforcement, not through proactive regulation. So what happens is in the States, basically anyone doing a blockchain project, we don't really know what the line is around where something becomes a security or not until the SEC comes after someone. And so as a result, you know, Bonfire, we've had to take an extremely conservative approach and probably over-regulate ourselves in the lack of federal government leadership in the US around, you know, comprehensive blockchain policy. But what I see is an emerging technology that has true potential to empower lots of people to come together from all over the world who don't know each other and do very interesting things together in a way that's never occurred before. And how the policy unfolds is going to be very interesting. And I really am hopeful that the industry and the entrepreneurs have a seat at the table, because otherwise, you know, we're going to see overregulation and a stifling of creativity and entrepreneurship.
What are the hurdles that your group have encountered on the implementation of the blockchain technology for the real estate business, as well as your relevant takeaways from these challenging circumstances?
Yeah, I think the two biggest hurdles, obstacles we've experienced, you know, is in the US. Like, Edgar, if you and I bought an apartment together, it would not be considered a security. It would be considered something called a tenancy in common. And there's a history of people coming together to buy a real estate asset together and having that fall under a type of real estate law instead of securities law. Because of that ambiguity right now in policy in the US, we're having to treat these as securities, which means it's much harder for us to sell this to people who are unaccredited, meaning someone in the US who makes less than $200,000, et cetera. I would say on the technology side, I mean, there's nothing difficult about having a token creating. I mean, I say that because, you know, tongue in cheek, in the sense that I've never written a line of code in my life, and my co-founder is an absolute genius when it comes to technology. So I might be saying it's easier than it really is. But creating, you know, a blockchain and a token that represents a real world asset is not technologically that difficult. Having that token represent an interest that the government also agrees, you know, that it believes the validity of that token representing an ownership interest is still a challenge that all of us in this industry face. So as a result of that, we often have to have two different sets, parallel sets of records, that which exists on blockchain and then a manual version, because US institutions don't yet recognize the validity of blockchain as a source of truth for custodial ownership.
From your perspective, Joshua, what works effectively well on this particular proof of concept on real estate using blockchain technology and other functions or features that we can still improve further?
You know, Edgar, what I would say is when we launched our minimum viable product, our proof of concept at the end of last year, and it was a very humble, small $300,000 residential project outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. One of the most amazing things, and I didn't expect this to happen out of this MVP, is we had 160 buyers from, I don't know, 11, 12 countries. And the number of people who spontaneously wrote on our Discord or our Twitter, "Hey, I'm an economist in Argentina," or "I'm a cab driver in Jaipur, India, and I now own real estate in the US of A." Right? So we know that this technology works. We know that it is living in the world today, that it is not unlike, you know, there's some other technologies within blockchain, like the metaverse, some NFT projects that have a lot of hype but not a lot of substance. We know as of right now that asset-backed tokenization of real-world, you know, projects like real estate is happening today. And it's only going to grow. I mean, I personally believe it's going to be every single asset on Earth will be tokenized much faster than we even think within 20 years.
How do you foresee the future of blockchain in real estate business specifically? And what should be our realistic expectation on this regard?
You know, I think every single real estate asset will be tokenized. I think that there will be a protocol in place for people to buy and sell their tokens in a fast and liquid manner. I think people, for the first time, will be able to borrow in an efficient way against their tokens. So they'll be able to leverage their tokens to buy more assets. So I really, in the future, see this as the underpinning of real world assets, and real estate is the biggest on Earth. I can't remember the number, 300 trillion or whatever the number is. It's the biggest asset class on Earth, and it will all be tokenized. And what it will do is it will democratize access, because, you know, you can stay in a hotel and be like, I like this hotel enough, I want to buy a token in it, right? And so what it does is it enables everyone to be owners of assets instead of just the ultra rich.
Given your considerable experience in this field, Joshua, what are your advice on this subject matter, particularly for those who are starting to adopt on blockchain for real estate?
Edgar, I don't like to give advice. I honestly prefer listening to people and hearing what their advice is. I would say, you know, there's been so many rug pulls and bad actors in the space that if you're skeptical or you have questions about a project, ask the founders questions. You know, don't take anything for granted. And, you know, and if a project founders are not available or unwilling to answer questions, walk away. You know, make sure you don't invest until you have all your questions answered and it makes sense to you, would be my advice. You know, and if you ever have that sort of nagging feeling in your head, like, oh, something isn't adding up, walk away. You know, there's plenty of good projects out there, is what I would say.
Very well said. Are there any initiatives that you're working with, Joshua, that you would like to share with our podcast listening audience? Most importantly, what are the easiest way of reaching out or contacting you?
Yeah, so Bonfire is very different than a lot of the real estate platforms that exist out there in a few different ways. I think, and I'll come to your questions about the initiatives and how to get in touch with me, but I think it's important for people to know how traditionally money is raised for real estate on the internet. And what happens is there's platforms out there that will work with real estate developers, and they will take a commission from the real estate developer for raising money on their platform. The problem with that is that it incentivizes the platform to put bad deals or any deal on the platform. Bonfire takes an entirely different approach. We look at ourselves as an investor club, where our community are our members, right? And so we're targeting 8 to 12 high quality investments per year. We'll do less if we can't find them, right? We don't feel any rush whatsoever to do a project. We're targeting A+, what we call sponsors, you know, operators who have 10-year track records of exceeding expectations, who understand a very specific real estate type in a specific market. So for instance, we just released a project in Orange County, really close to Disneyland. It's a 125 unit apartment building with a sponsor who has, you know, a track record of exceeding expectations. We're looking at like a 15 to 20% annual IRR, which is a blend of cash on cash return as well as the kind of the exit value. And, you know, instead of needing $250,000 to invest with a sponsor on our platform, you know, you only need $2,500. So I think that's what our kind of key value proposition is. We're enabling, you know, you have to have some means to be able to invest $2,500 in a project. I get that that's not going to be accessible to everyone, even though that's our long-term vision. But giving people access to really high quality, compelling projects is our value proposition. And you can find me at Joshua, Joshua, at bonfire.capital.
Thanks so much, Joshua, for sharing us your valuable insights on the critical importance of using a blockchain in the real estate industry for our virtual economy. We wish you all the best on your future endeavors.
Thank you, Edgar. It was wonderful speaking with you, and I wish you all the best going forward.
Sincere appreciation to Joshua Kagan on sharing us his remarkable perspective on the application of blockchain technology to the real estate business and its relevance to our digital economy. We would like to hear from you. Share us your thoughts regarding our topics and send us a message on the Anchor Voice message box. Your message could end up on our future podcast episode. Make sure you never miss any episodes of FinCircle by clicking the subscribe button or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Amazon Music, Pocket Cast, Audible, Overcast, Stitcher, TuneIn, Anchor.fm, an affiliated podcast platform. You can also reach us on our website at fincircle.wordpress.com and our Facebook page at FinCircle Podcast. This concludes our podcast episode today. Thank you for listening on FinCircle. This is Ed Angeles. Let's catch up again soon.